Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for February 21st, 2017. The time right now is 7:03 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll? Sorry.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, and Rasmussen.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please note for the record that I received word earlier this evening that Councilmember Camp would not be here due to a medical issue, and that Councilmember Gamble is going to be arriving late. He was getting out of work a little bit later, and I have not heard from Councilmember Davis. So without objection, we will consider Councilmember Camp as excused. Okay. And we'll anticipate Councilmember Davis and Councilmember Gamble here during the meeting. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is AB 17-029, confirmation of appointment for Community Development Director. As all of you know, our former Community Development Director left probably about 4 to 5 weeks ago. We went ahead and staff did a recruitment. Mr. Ben Swanson has put his name in. I interviewed about 3 or 4 folks and found that Mr. Swanson, that Ben, was an excellent fit for what we're looking for here in Monroe. He comes to us with experience, well, from the city of Monroe. He used to work here as a planner. He then went and worked for the city of Duval as a planner and is currently at Snoqualmie, the city of Snoqualmie. He comes to us with experience, having supervisory experience, in particular from the U.S. Coast Guard. He has a Bachelor's of Arts in Urban Studies from the University of Washington. Go Huskies. He's also a CECL, which is a Certified Erosion and Sediment Control Lead, and a Certified Floodplain Manager. He did very well in the interviews, and I think he will do very well for our city. So I would request this evening your confirmation of Mr. Swanson to the position of Community Development Director effective March 6th of 2017. Council, do you have any questions? Or Mr. Swanson, do you want to come up and say a few words?
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for this opportunity. If you have any questions, I'm open to answering.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Not a question for you specifically, but as always, whenever there's appointments, I like to ask the rest of council or staff if they have any input.
Councilmember Cutaback.
Well, I was here as a probably pretty new council member when Mr. Swanson was here, and he did a great job for the city as a planner. Really appreciated the work that he did here, so I'll be definitely confirming his appointment. So I'm glad to see you come back.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Good.
All right. Is there a motion or any further questions? Councilmember Scarborough.
I move to confirm the appointment of Mr. Ben Swanson as Community Development Director effective March 6, 2017.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Scarborough, a second from Councilmember Cutaback to confirm the appointment of Mr. Ben Swanson as Community Development Director effective March 6th of 2017. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Ms. Atkinson will now do the oath.
That's right. So I will go ahead and have you raise your right hand, and I will go ahead and say the oath, and you can choose to swear or affirm when I finish. Ben Swanson, you do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Community Development Director according to law, to the best of your ability and understanding.
I swear.
that. You need to put your hand up again.
Oh, for the picture. Well, for Penn, yeah, sure. Okay. Can you just crop me out? But your hair looks
great. Are you talking about Penn's?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. You're welcome.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda this evening. This is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We have a sign-in sheet. Please note that public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The first person who we have that is signed up to speak this evening is Jim Cavanaugh. Mr. Cavanaugh, please come forward and state your name and address for the record, and welcome.
Jim Cavanaugh, I'm at 161 179th Avenue Southeast.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. Yes.
My question is, just recently we received our first bill from the Republic House Company. Prior to that, we received several notices that the city would be no longer doing the billing. We received our first billing, and it's for a full month, 3 months at a time. Some of us that live single have our garbage picked up once a month, and Republic just apparently does not offer that service now. And so I'm just curious as to what we can do to alleviate that problem.
So I'm going to go ahead and ask our interim city administrator, Mr. Mosley, to respond.
I believe there has clearly been some confusion about that, because my understanding, they do offer a monthly service. And if you will contact me tomorrow, I'll make sure to get you in contact with the proper person at Republic, because they do offer a monthly service.
Right, so I've not been able to contact them. They don't answer their phone.
Okay, that's something else we will follow up on. So let's make certain that you get Mr. Mosley's number. Can somebody give him
a phone
number? You got my number.
Brad, yeah, I've got his information here.
Yeah, Mr. Cavanaugh, we do have your phone number and address here.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you.
The next person who we have that is signed up to speak this evening is Ms. Erin Angus-Snepka. Ms. Angus-Snepka, please come forward. Thank you for coming.
I'm part of the duo.
Okay.
Erin Angus-Snepka, 421 South Lewis Street, Monroe. And I'm introducing tonight Patty Glenn, the new vice president of the Downtown Monroe Association. She's absolutely fabulous, and we love her to bits.
Great, she's going to talk.
Apparently now I'm talking, so the mic got handed over. And Patty Glenn, Wellbeing Center for Health, 211 West Hill Street, Monroe. I just want to take a minute to thank the council and the mayor for the ongoing and continued support of the Downtown Monroe Association. I think we're really excited about the energy that's building around it and the support that we're generating, and that has a lot to do with the support we've had from this room, so we're really grateful for that. We look forward to you looking at the contract that's in front of you tonight and hope for a positive outcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come up to speak to the City Council this evening? Anybody at all? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Okay, we have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and move on to unfinished business now. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 17032, discussion Snohomish Health District, record building financial interest. And I believe that this is Mr. Mosley.
Thank you very much, Mayor, members of the Council. I'm happy to provide you with some information and research that staff has been doing over the last several weeks regarding this request from the Snohomish Health District. There's a memorandum from me in your packets outlining some of the information and analysis that we have conducted over the last several weeks. The purpose of the memorandum for me is an attempt to summarize what we have learned over the past few weeks regarding the purchase of the Rucker Building and to explain the status of a claim, if any, the city might theoretically have in case of the sale of the building. The Rucker Building was purchased in 1990 for $5,150,000 by the East Snohomish Health District. It is reasonably certain that Monroe made payments for 5 years for its portion of the purchase, totaling $24,428, or 0.273% of the total of the purchase price. The reason I say reasonably certain is because the city has no record of making these payments. However, that would have been our contribution, and the building was paid off during this period. There's an attachment in your packet that demonstrates how much each year for those 5 years that the city paid. In 1995, the Health District Charter was amended to add a Section 8. This section says that in the event of the sale of the property, the percentage of, quote, ownership for Monroe, theoretically 0.273%, would be distributed accordingly to the different jurisdictions. However, there is no record that in 1995 was that, no record that in the 1995 amendment was ever implemented by the health district or any other instrument, not by an MOA or memorandum of agreement or any other potential instrument. The city received a letter in December 22nd of last year, which is attachment, the first attachment to your packet, requesting Monroe relinquish any potential interest in the sale of the building. If Monroe were to have a legal claim to the sale proceeds, the building is valued now at $9,146,000. That would equal $24,969. However, there is no record that we can point to, that we can find, that the city has an enforceable claim against that potential or theoretical ownership interest. Finance Director, we asked Finance Director Nelson to contact the State Auditor's Office about the request and to relinquish any potential interest to see if there might be an audit problem if we did that. The State Auditor's Office indicated that the city is not legally obligated to pursue any reimbursement and that the city could execute the proposed ILA without incurring negative audit scrutiny in the future. The Health District indicates that if the city relinquishes any potential interest or theoretical interest, that the Health District would purchase a smaller building and put the remaining funds into a new capital fund. So the issue before the council tonight is a discussion of the ILA and the information that we provided you in terms of the history and our legal assessment and to provide us with direction as to whether or not we come back to you with the ILA. We are joined tonight by Jeff
Ketchel.
From the health district, and if you have any questions, I will invite him to assist me in responding to that. So, Mayor, that's my report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mosley. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. In regards to the reasonably certain that we paid, you know, that's been a concern of discussion up here, and in talking with health district staff. Actually, it was at our January 30th meeting. Heather Thomas had mentioned that, they don't have records of it either, but through all the audits that the health district has gone through, all indications from their end indicate that all the ILAs that were performed were paid as put out there. Unfortunately, no record of it. So, And maybe I'll call in Mr. Getchell, because I don't have my email pulled up, but the, I know the county has signed off on the Rucker Building ILA through...
a quick clean deed that was discovered in their archives, dated, I think, 1997.
Okay. Yes. And what other cities have currently signed off on it?
No cities have said no.
Okay.
So I'll start with that.
I think I can respond to that.
Okay.
Lake Stevens has passed the ILA. Arlington had it on for a study session last Monday and then on their consent agenda for tonight. Their meeting tonight. Bothell and Snohomish also have it on their agendas for this evening.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. So I've, you know, obviously I've been working on this with the health district and with our city staff since it's come up, and continuing to feel comfortable and confident that relinquishing our interests is the is good and the right thing to do. So, you know, I'm still in support of that. And but would yield to other council that if they have any other questions or concerns before taking it further.
Are there any other questions for the speakers or a motion?
So there is our percentage in the building would be 0.023.
0.273.
Which would amount to how much money if it were worth $9 million?
$24,969.
So we basically would be getting our money back.
If we had a claim.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or motion? Councilmember Cutback.
Just a question about the amendment to that section. It states in the memorandum and the document that because it wasn't implemented, that the amendment has to be implemented in order for it to have legal standing.
There was nothing that was in the charter.
Right.
And I think it's clear that the intent was to disperse on the same percentage as you're contributing. But there was never any implementing instrument that that brought that claim. And Zach may have a better way of explaining
you
that.
You got the mic ready.
That's an issue that we've talked about extensively, and I think that what David was getting at is that the amendment to the charter that apparently occurred in roughly 1995 post-dated the city's execution of the original funding ILA by about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no indication that the process specified by that charter amendment was ever actually implemented. I mean, unless it was intended to have retroactive effect, and I haven't seen a document that indicates that. The city's funding obligation vis-a-vis the original Rucker Building acquisition occurred in 1990 pursuant to an interlocal agreement which has since expired.
Mm-hmm.
The charter amendment occurred in 1995 after the city had already committed those funds. And that's, I think, the disconnect between the charter on one hand and the city's original funding agreement on the other. We have not found, or no documents have been brought to the city's attention, and no one, as I understand it, at City Hall has any institutional memory that the process specified by that charter provision was ever actually used. It was not implemented after the charter amendment was put into place.
I didn't get to that part of what the process was that needed to be implemented when they did the amendment. What was the process that we didn't do?
It was essentially contemplated an agreement between the parties that specified various percentages of contribution, and based on that, the percentages of whatever reimbursement or entitlement would occur. And again, if the city had executed the 1990 ILA after that charter provision took effect, then it would be very clear that those monies would be subject to the allocation and reimbursement provision that the charter contemplated. But the ILA instead was executed in 1990, and that ILA, that one enforceable agreement that the city is a signatory to, has since expired. So it's not on its face an enforceable document at this point.
Councilmember Kovac, you still have the floor, but for the record, I'd like to indicate that Councilmember Davis has entered the chambers at 7:23 p.m. Good evening, Councilmember. Councilmember Kovac, you still have the floor.
Well, I think, you know, I appreciate all the work that the staff has done trying to dig into this and understand it's not a lack of trust with the Snohomish Health District. It really is looking at, you know, what was the history of what is owed the city and doing our due diligence to see, you know, kind of how to proceed. At this point, I think I'm willing to move forward and sign the ILA and relinquish it. And the reason being is I appreciate the investigation. I don't think, like you said, the original ILA is enforceable at this point. I appreciate what the health district's done for the whole county, and I know they serve Monroe, so I'm interested to hear from if council has any other opinions, but I'm okay with moving forward.
Councilmember, I'm going to call on Councilmember Hanford. He hasn't spoken yet. I'll come to Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I would agree with everything that was stated. I feel like we've done our homework so that we can be responsible for the funds that the city paid out years ago to the best that we can. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense to go ahead and move forward. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I'll yield to Mr. Davis if he has any comments on
that. I'll go ahead and inquire. Councilmember Davis, do you have any questions? We're on the Snohomish Health District record building relinquishment of interest.
Right, and I get the gist of what they're saying, and I'm in agreement with them too. I think we should move forward with this. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
In that case, I will make a motion to
direct staff
to sign the resolution to...
We need to bring it back to council.
Bring it back, okay. Bring it back to relinquish interest in the record building.
Is there a second? We can just go ahead and act on consensus and bring it back.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So I'm understanding there's consensus without objection. We understand that we will bring this back, and we'll discuss where this will be on the extended agenda a little bit later in this meeting. Thank you all very much. Mr. Teschel, thank you very much for coming out this evening.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank
all the work that the health district does to serve us. All right, the next item on the agenda this evening is unfinished business. This is unfinished business number 2, AB 17033, discussion 191st extension, review open house comments. Yes, I've got a spot over here if you'd like to sit over here, Councilor Scarborough.
Thank you.
Until Councilmember Gamble arrives.
He's here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Mr. Please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble entered chambers at 7:26 p.m. Welcome. All right, Mr. Peterson, you're up.
I'm up. The computer system isn't enough.
It's the paper.
High tech.
Okay, computer system.
There you go. Let's get this thing going.
I don't think about it.
Kathy for now, so we'll get going. Okay, well, good evening. I'm Scott Peterson with the Design and Construction Division of Public Works, and I'm here presenting Agenda Bill 17033, which is essentially discussing the results of the open house that we had for the 191st extension. We conducted this open house on January 26th, almost a month ago. We held it at the Monroe Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I'd like to give a shout out, so to speak. It's a wonderful facility, and they really opened their doors and were gracious to us, and made the event go very well. It was one of our more successful events. We had about 40 people stop by. We had six staff members and the mayor were there to, throughout the two-hour time slot we had, to answer any questions. It was a very busy night. The 2 hours flew by. Put this slide up here without apparently, I'm not actually sure what happened to my road alignment. It just kind of disappeared. So,
who's got it here?
You guys got this in the back there. So. Here we go. I'm kind of doing this on the fly, but Concept A, I'll just kind of orate that a little bit. Is Concept A was the route that went directly south from 191st down to Galaxy Way. Concept B was kind of a gentle hook to the southeast and tying back in to the roundabout down there on Kelsey and Chanick Road. Concept C actually kind of hooked right around the south end of the church there, tied into across from Mount Ridge Road, so it connected to Chain Lake Road. The Concept D was essentially following the old roadbeds, the 191st, and along the boundary of Walmart, and getting back over to the roundabout as well. So, of those roads, we presented a couple road sections for each. And then we passed out a questionnaire to the attendees, of which the questionnaire is attached in your packet for your review. This is what the public, the fact sheet is attached to your packet for review. This is what people got to read as they walked around and looked at the boards, as well as ask questions for staff. We had a questionnaire that circulated with them, and one of the functions of the questionnaire was to essentially give a rating of 1 to 5 for each of the concepts and each of the road sections associated with each of the road alignment. And on the table, which is populated up here on the screen, shows the average score for each of the concepts. And what we can get from this is that in all of our proposed road alignments, there was a trend for people to like the rural road section with the sidewalk. They weren't really interested in the urban road section. So that's for all the road alignments. And of the road alignments, C, which was the one tying the Mountain Ridge Road intersection, that wasn't looked at very well at all. 1 being the worst score, 5 being really liking it. The average score is 1.6 or 1.7, so it didn't score very well.
Second, Mr. Peterson, Councilmember Gamble has a question.
Right here.
Oh, there you go.
The one question I have on that, when we displayed these options, was it made clear that Concept C was the only one that if the state went to develop, then we wouldn't have to redo?
No, we had discussions about, a lot of people were wondering why were we even proposing that C in the first place.
Okay.
But when we explained to them that this actually kind of aligned with some pretty old washed out plans, that's why we showed it there. Then people nodded and whatnot. I think the majority of the people were still thinking that the bypass they probably would never see, so it just kind of moved right along.
It's been since the 60s.
That's right.
Get it. Okay, I just didn't know if that was made.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do A, B, or D, and they do something and change their mind, completely reinvest again. Well, Brad has his hand up.
Yeah. Mr. Fiber.
Thank you. Just a comment on that. When we were talking to WashDOT about putting that frontage road in when we closed off 191st, they had mentioned that due to the new standards that it wouldn't fit there with what they would have to do with the rest of the roadway. So probably if we did put C in the run and the bypass went in, we'd probably have to move that anyway. So it's probably all of them have to be moved if they end up doing the bypass.
So do we have any on our, I guess then the question lends itself why we wouldn't have pursued some sort of concept that would meet parameters under today's?
Basically, we'd have to buy a whole lot of property. And that's actually what we did when we put the, when we connected it to the end of Rainier View Road. That was the, not have to move anything, you still have the connection out.
Okay. Anything else? Thanks.
Good. Mr. Peterson, go ahead.
Thank you. Get back to the table here. So the other thing that we can glean out from this is concept D, narrowly edged out concept A in terms of the preferred route amongst the pollsters, so to speak. They're pretty close, but if you would, to the edge, it'd be concept D, which is following the old road beds, the old road alignments. We also took a, on the questionnaire was a survey of what neighborhoods people were hailing from. The vast majority were coming from the developments that were immediately adjacent to the bypass corridor, Sinclair Heights, Trombley, and Toyville developments. We had 22 people indicate they were from those neighborhoods. And then just generally a smattering of other areas to the north. So, that in a nutshell is the results of the open house. Again, it was a pretty successful turnout. We don't normally see about 40 or so people coming, so it was a good time. And I'm glad to see the public there and expressing an interest in this. On the time constraints,
Mr. Peterson, I'm going to go ahead and interrupt you for a second. Okay. Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Cutback. Councilmember Hanford.
I can wait until he's done. I just wanted to give direction.
Okay, sounds good. Go ahead and continue, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you. On the time constraints, I just kind of showed you a table of potential timeline should this project move forward. If the next step, of course, would be to kind of explore what WashDOT's opinion is and get their buy-in before we really start to invest in some background and design efforts. So. Anyways, this is the table is there for a timeline in the back of this agenda packet. So, the very back section of the packet was a return of all the comments that people did write on their questionnaire and turned it in, and we reproduced them here for you guys to read. So, other than that, I am open to questions. So.
Thank you very much. Councilmember
Hanford. Thank you, Mayor. So, thank you, Scott, for presenting this. A question and a couple of comments. So, the option D, rural road section, so looking at the green line that comes down, it comes down the hill, and then it makes a hard left and goes in an arc down to the roundabout. Is all these estimates based on the rural sidewalk going next to it until it makes the jog to the left and then the sidewalk continuing down to Galaxy Way? Or is it continuing with it?
It is. This rural sidewalk is following the road all the way to the roundabout. I mean, the trail associated with the rural road section. The sidewalk would go all the way to the roundabout. That's what the estimate you see in the packet.
Okay, so it's following the entire way. So nothing coming straight down the hill.
No, sir.
Okay. So I guess that would be something that I would love to get more input on. To me, I'm just thinking, like, if people are up there and they want to walk down to see the movies, have dinner, shop, whatever they're going to do, I don't know what the terrain is like from the point where you make that hard left is to Galaxy Way, bedrock, you know. I don't know if that's a huge amount or just a slight amount. if it's just a slight amount, it would make sense to me that you'd want the sidewalk to continue down, or the walkway to continue down, and not necessarily follow the road that goes over to the roundabout. Just an idea, or maybe you can address the difference there.
Right. There's a pretty good, I don't have the elevation differential there. You know, my quick thought, I felt like maybe this is something similar to Walls Falls.
Okay.
Because it's about
60 feet.
It's a 60-foot grade differential in a relatively short amount of time. And I mean, distance, so to speak. So there would definitely be some zigzagging going on.
Okay.
But it's pretty rough. We certainly don't have a topo map. A surveyor go out there and shoot it up. So we don't have a lot of information to be able to tell you exactly kind of what the limitations of a sidewalk down one of them steep grades and what that would mean.
And this, Councilmember Hanford, my impression when I went out and stood out there was that Walls Falls, right? It felt like it was something that you'd either be looking at a staircase or you'd be looking at switchbacks at that point.
Okay.
It may be that there are other places along that route where you could have something, but even the folks that were at the open house, they talked about there being switchbacks or a staircase, so I think there was an understanding. The other thing, too, just to address one other component of that, there are a lot of people that walk out on Chain Link right now and walk, is it D?
D.
Yeah, that walk D today, and to be able to put in a walkway on one side would allow for a loop there.
Oh, yes.
So, in my thought, and again, this would be something to discuss with council at a now or a later, or maybe a later date. I think it would be beneficial to have both, so that people that just want to go down and like go to the movies or something have switchbacks or a staircase or some other way to get down there, but also still maintain that loop so that people can jog around right away and the Highway 2 bypass.
Okay.
Those are some thoughts.
Okay.
Councilmember, you still have the floor.
So thank you. So that clarifies my question. I would say, yeah, great. Leave it. Sounds like D is being used, so leave the sidewalk all the way going through, just how you presented. And if there's not funds available now, maybe have it so that in the future the switchbacks could be filled or added on at a future time.
The other feedback I had was the feedback that I've received from residents there liked option D, and so and given the fact that that's almost half the cost of the second place concept A, to me that makes sense. So I you're looking for, it says you're looking for direction, and so my thoughts would be to pursue rural road section off concept D. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback, you have the floor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do walk back there every day, so it would be nice to have the sidewalk follow the road because it is a big loop. And then I agree having a staircase probably down, that's a steep grade down to Galaxy Way and a big thicket. There is a trail there and you can get through it, but it's incredibly steep. But I see the value of having some access for pedestrians to get down there, so I think a staircase makes sense. My question, because I remember Councilmember Camp mentioning it, that he was not in agreement with A because of the just a straight shot down the Galaxy. That would be steep. So a lot of earthwork, is that the reason for the increase in price? Because it's like double.
Yes, it is by far a lot of earthwork.
Okay.
Just to remove that, drove up the cost. So.
Okay. And then the other comment, just I think whatever we do to have a sidewalk back there, I mean, as we build this community and we make it connected and walkable, that was one of the things in the comp plan, was as much as possible having that connection for pedestrians and alternate modes of transportation. It looked like, though, D couldn't have a bike trail if it's a rural. It would just be one sidewalk that could be used for pedestrians and bike. It wouldn't have a bike path.
Right. The idea is that it's wider, so it could accommodate bikes and walkers.
Just on that. Okay. Yeah, so I think D seems to be the best bet.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I agree with the fact what was already there. I don't know why they were taken out, but that's why the cost is lower, because the grades are all the same, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because we're the same grades. The one question I would want, or have, I guess, is just, even though I know it's been there since the 60s, if I remember right, just looking at the transportation package from the state and the roads, there is nothing, I think, for the next 25 years marked there. Is that correct?
For
Highway 2 bypass. The only thing that I saw was Ripple was coming in on the bypass, but not Highway 2, correct?
There are no plans that we're aware of to build anything on the Highway 2 right of way, is the question?
It's on the list, but it's unprogrammed.
So it means unfunded?
So it means unfunded, yeah, because even the stuff that's funded, they have, things that haven't even started yet, that's built by 2020, and nothing the state is built yet, and hasn't started yet, will be done in 3 years. So this is from Highway 2, 204 interchange project. They have their list of what projects are in the pipeline, and so they do have the three phases of the Highway 2 bypass, but they're all listed as unprogrammed by. The way it's set up is they're going to be programmed by 2040 is what the basis is.
To be programmed in 2040?
No, yeah, it's not programmed by 2040. They don't expect it to be programmed by then.
Okay.
So it would be 25 years after that.
Go ahead. Yeah,
another way of saying that is there are no funds in the connecting Washington.
Correct.
For the bypass.
And that's why I wanted to make sure.
Yes. The last thing we want to do is put something in that you're immediately
yanking up.
Sidewalk to nowhere. Don't want to be a part of that.
So, were you good with D?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yeah, definitely in agreement with D. I think that makes the most sense. I couldn't agree more with having the addition of the staircase coming down Galaxy. I actually hit home a little bit. I spent some time in Bend last year in the house after STP, and we're in above the Milltown district, and it was actually kind of same concept up on a hill, Milltown down here, and they had the staircase leading from Milltown up to the residential area, and it was pretty amazing just to be able to sit down there and have a drink, and actually you'd see a lot of people just all day long up and down those stairs, going back and forth to home, shopping, whatever, so it could be pretty vital. The one thing that's missing here that I know that came up last time was kind of the grade comparisons, just put into perspective kind of what option D compares to, whether that's the same grade as Chain Lake or Tester or option A, where those fall about.
And just to let you know, we did have the profiles. Was it called profiles, right?
Okay.
We had the profiles at the open house, but I don't see them here.
No, I don't have them here. We did have them, as Mayor said, at the open house, if I recall. There is a bit of a grade challenge to overcome immediately off of 190, on Rainier View Road. And we're to do a comparison. If I recall, we're thinking, someone mentioned Robin Hood Lane. It wasn't going to be as steep as Robin Hood Lane, but something more comparable. It would be steeper than the new Trinity Place extension behind Safeway. So it's steeper than that, but not as steep as Robin Hood Lane.
Okay.
And that's not the whole road, of course. Sure. That's just getting off of Rainier View and getting back down.
Okay.
But, if we're following option D, very closely follows the existing road grade. So,
yeah.
You can just physically go out there and kind of get a good feel of what it is. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I go to Councilmember Cuddeback, who's already spoken on this, Councilmember Scarborough and Davis, do you have anything, any questions or comments on the alternatives?
Sure.
Councilmember Davis?
All I wanted to say was that I agree with what you guys have all said about this stuff. My first concern was having that another route for safety concerns. I mean, primary, but cost is important. And D seems to be able to meet all those requirements, and I don't think it would be wise having a no sidewalks in there because then we're creating another safety issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not going to have people, keep people off the road if it's not capable of catching both cars, and people keep that another issue created. So I think D meets all the criteria, or best meets as many of the criteria that we put out. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I would concur with what Mr. said. I'm going to say it again. I agree with the concept of being stairway as we can, what we can, and sidewalks.
Sounds great. Councilmember Cutabax.
Just a couple comments. So the grade on when 191st comes off, people already drive on that. I mean, it's not heavily driven, but they have to drive down that when it comes off Rainier View Drive to get into that home down there. And I've seen garbage trucks go down there. So that's what you're trying to. It's steep, but
right.
It's already being driven on.
Right.
People drove on it for some time.
Yeah. I mean, you have to get to the house. The house that's down there. And then just a question about the bypass, because for the first phase, it was my understanding that it'd be off 522 and go north and come on the Chainlink Road. So would that interfere with 191st if they did like a first phase of the bypass? Maybe Brad knows that. You know, there was talk of the first phase would be off 522 and go north, so people would dump out on Chainlink.
Right, to put the roundabout at.
Couldn't it just connect to that?
And yeah, basically connects to that and goes down to the south. So basically, we'd be building that road for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't necessarily interfere with that first phase. It would actually connect it.
It would plug into that road. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what I saw in the documents is that first phase would just, we would have, maybe we'd get some fees down the road for building it ahead of time. I don't know. But it would connect, not interfere. Okay. All right. That's it.
Thank you. So I'm understanding that there is a consensus from council that D would be the preferred alternative. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So without objection, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and consider D as a preferred alternative. We'll go ahead and work. I'll go ahead and work with staff about what the next steps would be. You can see sort of in the conceptual time frame on page 2, what we'll do is begin coordination with the Department of Transportation this year just to make certain before we start spending money on doing designs and studies and whatnot that we have some sort of agreement in place with DOT that says, yes, it's okay to make that crossing where D does through the right-of-way. And then we'll come back to council and, in fact, if there is an agreement, council most probably will have to approve that agreement. So that would be sort of the next touch point with council would be, as we're negotiating that, to come back before council with that. And the time frame that's on here assumes that we have funding for it and everything, so just recognize that things can change, but this gives you an idea of what we're looking at and bringing back to council. Okay. All right, thank you very much. Scott, thank you and your team for putting this together. It was, like you said, a great turnout. I got to see how you interacted with the public, and you know, people got their questions answered, and I really appreciate all the work that you guys did. So thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda this evening is new business item number 1. This is AB 17-034, authorizing mayor to sign professional services agreement with Downtown Monroe Association. And the presenter on this is our interim city administrator, Mr. Mosley. Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, the city council adopted in your 2017 budget. And that budget included $25,000 to assist the Downtown Monroe Association, contingent on an agreement between the city and DMA to promote downtown businesses and property development through a comprehensive process that includes organization, promotion, economic restructuring, and design. You have before you an agreement between the city, a professional services agreement between the city and the Downtown Monroe Association. It includes the services that are to be performed, payment for those services. The term is through the end of this year, with potential for future year extensions, contingent obviously on funding in the budget and a mutual agreement, and requires the DMA to provide bi-monthly, that's every 2 months, report to the city on the activities undertaken as outlined in Section 1. This agreement has been reviewed by council, and the DMA president, and is before you for potential adoption if you choose.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Mosley or a motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
So, just questions. When I look at Section 1, pretty general. The service is not very specific or to determine, you know, what the metrics are, if it's meeting success. Like, for example, it says assist with fundraising, event planning, and coordination.
Right.
You know, is that one event, is it three events, is it five events? You know, how do we determine that this contract is being met?
Well, I think the report, good question. The reports would then identify for us which of these activities occurred during that 2 month period. And there's actually quite a bit of work to be done here for a part time person. But I think we would be able to determine whether or not we are receiving value with the reports that we receive and what were the activities that occurred in each of those report periods.
Yeah. And the only reason I ask this, I value the Downtown Association. Great. I'm in favor of the contract. I just think when two parties enter, to have a little bit more clarification on exactly what the expectation is, to know whether you're meeting it or not. These are general services guidelines, but not very specific. Like, lead walking towards Downtown Monroe, does that mean every month? Does it mean on a daily basis? Does it mean monthly? You know, so I think I'm willing to move forward on this contract as is, but I think it would be beneficial to the city and to the Downtown Association. So to set you up to be successful, to go, what can we do? Can we do all this, and how much of it can we do, and that, you know, meets our needs? Community relations and communications, that's incredibly broad. Does that mean they speak on these five events they have down there? Is it so? I think as we work through this, and as we hope to have a multi-year contract and do it for a couple years, that to set both parties up to be successful, just a little bit more clarification so you know exactly what this means and what you're doing for the funds, and we know what the expectation is. So whether it's a task force or you come back with goals or metrics and present it in your first report on what you think you can do and what that looks like, that would be helpful for me.
Thank you. Mr. Mosley.
I think as we move forward into years two or three, assuming they do, I think this first year will inform us about how much of activity can we anticipate for a funding level of this sort. So I think we could be more specific in years two if the council chooses to do that. First year, it's kind of hard to say specific numbers because we're just starting the concept. So, but I get your point, and I think it's something that as we contemplate years after this, we can probably gain some specificity.
Yeah, I just know when we're using public funds, and if a person from the public came and said, what are they doing? And we said, well, they're doing PR, marketing, assisting with grants. To have a little bit more definition of this is exactly what you're getting. They're going to apply for 4 grants for downtown. Doesn't mean they'll get them, but they're applying for 4, and we know that they're going to do that on behalf of the downtown. So it just gives a little bit, and I understand we can have time to work that out, but I think if we go through this contract and we don't know whether it's successful or not, and we have to approve a contract the next year, you want to have some data that shows, yeah, goals were met, metrics were met. and we can back up our vote to say this is beneficial, we want to approve another year. That's all. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Councilmember Gable?
So I agree. The other question I had, so it's a bi-monthly review, and I get it, so the bullet points, we'll get a readout on what's being done in regards to those bullet points. We budgeted for 2017 already, so is our first one next week, or?
No, it'll start when we, this starts, the contract would start March 1st,
yeah.
So there would be five bi-monthly reports through the end of the year.
Okay. I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the professional services agreement with the Downtown Mineral Association and expressly authorize any further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action as stated in Agenda Bill number 17-034. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, everybody. Excuse me. The next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 17-035, setting date to consider Curry Farms preliminary planned residential development and rezone.
Good evening, I'm Shanna Restel, senior planner of the city, and I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. The applicant for Curry Farms, Hanson Farms, has requested approval of a 25-lot plat and PRD, and on a 4.56-acre parcel of land off of 171st Avenue Southeast. The applicant's also requesting a rezone to change the zoning of the parcel from UR 9600 to UR 6000. A previous variance request to reduce the front yard setback for lot 1 from 10 feet, which is required from property line to the living space, to 5 feet was approved by the hearing examiner. And that is to allow for an existing residence on lot 1 to remain. And on December 15, 2016, a public hearing was held in front of the hearing examiner, and this was continued to January 5, 2017. The hearing examiner has recommended approval of the plat PRD and rezone. And according to MMC 2150-05081, the council shall set the date for consideration of the hearing examiner's recommendation at the council's next available public meeting. Staff is requesting that the date for the council's closed record proceeding be held on, or be February 28, 2017, and the requested action is on the first page of the agenda bill. And I'm happy to take any questions you might have at this point.
Thank you. Questions or a motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
I'll move to set the date of February 28, 2017 for the City Council's closed record consideration of the hearing examiner's recommendation on the proposed Curry Farms preliminary plat, PRD, and rezone. File numbers PLPRD 2016-03 and REZN 2016-01.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback and a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action as identified in Agenda Bill number 17-035. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, Ms. Russell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda this evening is council member reports. We don't have a report from P4 this evening. That's the Snohomish Health District, Board of Health meeting. Council member Rasmussen.
Thank you. regular Board of Health meeting last week, pretty straightforward, actually very quick. Just took some time to recognize, trying to recognize former Chair Sullivan. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, so we recognized him without him. Other than that, had discussion on status of where cities are at with the record building ILA as well as the per capita. And of course, we had ours this evening, and then per capita is coming up.
Tonight, per capita coming up.
Coming up, right.
So more and more cities are moving forward on those, which is great for the health district. Progress continues with the sale of the Rucker building and getting everything in order for the sale of that. Set the date for our board retreat on April 21st. And then as everyone knows, Dr. Goldbaum is retiring this year. And so for those that are interested, celebration March 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. Location to be determined for all those that are interested in and saying hi and whatnot. So other than that, that was the gist of what we have.
Okay, great. Any questions for Councilmember Rasmussen about the Board of Health meeting? Right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to Councilmember reports down the line. Councilmember Gamble. Okay. Councilmember Davis.
Well, I'm sure you're going to talk about it later, but
please go ahead.
Finally got down to Olympia, mm-hmm. which I've wanted to do for the last 4 years. It was determined I was going to do it this year, so I did. Anyways, I was very pleased with the whole opportunity down there. I think we had some quality representation for the city down there with our legislators. And I think we had some good discussions with them, and it certainly does help us when most of our legislators are actually from Monroe. So they know our issues, they live our issues, and so when we talk to them about it, it's good to have a discussion that they're knowledgeable about. And I think we had some good discussions with them. And I think it's a tough situation for them right now, because usually what you're talking about is somehow connected to money, and money is very tight, and that's the way it's going to be. But I think we made some good points down there. We're all in the same sheet of music, and I think there was a lot of value to us being down there. And I appreciate I think you did a great job. And council members that were down there, I think, represented the city well.
And I think
it went very well. It was quite good.
Thank you, Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Well, thank you, Councilmember Davis. Could have had from Scarborough and Mayor for representing us. And it sounds like it went well. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for representing us. And had a great Valentine's Day last week. So thank you, Council, for being smart about that. And hope all staff did as well and enjoyed their evenings. I think that's it.
Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Kennebec.
Advocacy Day, I only went down for the one day and stayed through kind of chill. I think it's about 8 o'clock, 7:30 or so. So it was great. It was good to go down there and talk. And basically, some of the messages we heard, it's all about clearing education. So capital budgets are going to be tight for the next couple of years. Some of the things that the city was lobbying on, and I think Brian Wall was great down there, and I really appreciate his support. Liquor tax revenue and making sure that the cities get back up to what it was from the last year that we had the 50-50 split, but really advocating to get that revenue back. And public trust works fund and all this stuff that's kind of slipped away over the years. I do think it's going to be challenging because they're going to find McCleary. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And we did lobby down there also for local control for us to make decisions around retail marijuana. And that was one of our issues. We talked to our legislators about and others about that we wanted more local control. So I think it was definitely well worth it. And for those who haven't gone down, I do recommend it. Two other things, there's a tree that went down on a walkway behind the farm. I don't know if the city's aware of that or Public Works, but it's blocking. So I don't know if we've got member complaints, or not member, citizen, thank you, complaints, but it's been down for probably about a week on the walkway, so I thought I'd mention that. And then I've heard some...
Where?
I'm sorry, behind the farm, it's that where the new sidewalk goes, and then it connects to the walkway that's already there.
So up the hill.
Up Woods Creek, up the hill. There's been a tree blocking down on that pathway. It's towards the top for probably over a week. I'm surprised somebody hasn't called in about it, so I thought I'd let the city know. And then I've been hearing just a little bit of chatter about, wondered, Brad, if there was anything in the budget to get lights on Woods Creek. We put a beautiful new sidewalk in there. Looks fabulous. And I know that we have it on Chain Lake Road where we have the light posts that are already on the telephone poles. I don't know what that costs, but I think that would be a great benefit to the city to have lights down on Wood Creek. Not only do I think it would help the pedestrians, I also think that it would help driving down that road. It's incredibly dark. And what I've noticed is it looks like there's tracks sometimes off the road, like a car goes off the road a little bit and gets into the side of the landscaping. So I think, I'm not sure what that would cost. But.
So we'll get some cost estimates over the next couple of weeks on you know, what it would take to put up lighting along Woods Creek, and we'll get back to council on that.
Yeah,
and staff will follow up on the
tree.
The tree, yeah.
Thank you.
And that's the first I've heard of it myself, so
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
I too went to Olympia, and it's always interesting to see what goes on down there. Like everybody's alluded to, it's all about money. Money's going to drive the train. It was an interesting meeting with our folks, and sorry I missed Representative Christensen. But I did talk to him in the lobby before on Wednesday, so at least I got to apologize for not being able to be there for Thursday. I'll attend the steering committee meeting tomorrow night in Everett. I have been asked if there is any thing in the wind about a roundabout at Chain Lake Road and Brown Road with the advent of this big housing bunch up there comes around?
Well, there's only one development with 35 lots, I think, that has it's coming out on the Chain Lake Road just south of there, and then about 7/8 of the intersection is actually in an incorporated Snohomish County. So, and then there's also the big hole on the northeast corner. So,
is there a walk area or a walking path in Sinclair Heights that heads towards the new development of these 35 homes? Or up Chain Lake Road to
no.
Connect?
We applied for grant money, and we're on the list to receive money for the design this year for extending that walk up that we did from Kelsey on up to Ringer View Road, continue that all the way up to Brown.
Okay. And I want to bring back to committee the discussion on term limits. Since I'm the guy that abstained last time, I want more time to think about it. I'm not against discussing the dropping limits altogether, but I certainly want to hear our thoughts on the going to three terms or 12 years. We never, I don't think, got the fruition on that to since the at large 2-year position has changed to 4 years, it affects at least two of us up here. So I would like to bring that back to council at some point.
Is there another council member that would like that also?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll put that on an agenda. So I'll work with staff on understanding that you would like something that is more toward three terms or 12 years.
12 years.
All right. Sounds good. Staff may be in contact with you just to follow up to make sure the agenda bill is put together the way you're looking for it.
I think everything else in the proposal we talked about before was pretty what we wanted. I don't know if there's any changes or clarification that might be done on what you would put in. Okay. Okay.
Staff will follow up with you, Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything further, Councilmember?
No, I can't.
Jog my memory.
All right, sounds good. We'll go down to staff.
If I could.
Yes, go ahead.
So we're... We've decided what we'd like to do is to highlight a couple of the departments at each of our council meetings, one or more. So tonight, Public Works and Parks are the ones that be highlighted. You'll hear from the others, but they each have prepared some reports that are in your packets. They're not going to read them to you because you can read them all yourself, but just to highlight a couple of things, I think that we just want to make sure that everybody's aware of the variety of things that our departments are working on a daily basis. So with that, I would call on Brad to kick off on Public Works.
You told me I wasn't going to read it because I was going to come up and say this. Since we have an hour and 37 minutes left before 10 o'clock, I'm going to read all 12 pages of it.
See, I cut you off, didn't I?
So, in your packet, there is the Public Works report. I'd just like to call your attention to a couple of the things. One is the sidewalk at-grade rail crossings for 179th and Farrells Boulevard. We have actually got an agreement draft out of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway, so we've got that and doing a little negotiating on that. So they've actually, and they have not yet told us that we have to move the crossing arms, so we may still be able to approve the project. Another one is the list of 2017 street preservation projects that we're doing. That we were the 0.2% sales tax that the city council instituted and to use for the transportation benefit district, and we were using that money. Actually leveraging that, and we've got $417,000 in grants from the Transportation Improvement Board that we're using that, and that's to do Chain Lake Road from Rainier View to Brown Road to overlay that road, and also Friends Boulevard, the northbound lanes from Main to 152nd Street. And then the last item is the automatic metering infrastructure project that we did and put in automatic meter reading on all our water meters, and that project is completed. And so now we can get all sorts of new information from our water accounts and find out when people want to have final bills. We don't have to send somebody out to do a final reading. And then we can also see when people are using unusual amounts of water and notify them that they may have a leak, and they don't have to wait till the end of the month and get a really large bill. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Cobb or let's come back?
For the water meters, is that stuff online? Can customers access it?
We did not spend the extra money to get that module that will allow them to
Access kind of right. To monitor their water usage and stuff. What would that have cost?
It was a lot.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it was a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah, it was over $30,000 a year.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that $30,000 was just for
like
a
one year.
People,
oh.
Yeah, for 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Brad.
Anything else for Mr. Bobber? Thank you very much. All right. Next special report we have this evening is from our Parks Department, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So, in your packet is a department update from Parks and Rec, and I'd like to call your attention to a couple items in that report. First, the new playground for Lake Tai Park that you'd approved for this year's budget. The public is invited to attend the meeting, park board meeting, that's this Thursday at 7 p.m., and that is at Frylands Elementary School, where a special presentation will be made showing and explaining the features of the new replacement playground for Lake Tai. It's funded for this year, as I mentioned, and we anticipate to complete this project by the end of May. So following this park board meeting, then this will come to the council for approval. Another thing I'd like to draw your attention to is that we are currently requesting proposals from licensed qualified businesses to provide seasonal paddleboard kayak rental program service at Lake Tai Park for this year. The deadline to receive the proposals is Friday, February 24th, and if we don't receive any proposals, then we probably will extend that deadline. And lastly, I have a little section, just a little summary here of operations, what we've been up to, and I just want to point out that we are now in the third week of doing weekly monitoring of the unmarked trails, pathways in the woods at Alpwallen Park and Sky River Park, and our staff are also tracking data as far as litter collected, anything found. And in future monthly reports, I'll have a section that'll just have that information for you. That's all. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you, Mike. I was driving home from work the other day, and I got off of 522, and there at the roundabout was the sign that had just been finished. It was sparkling with the fresh oil and the paints that had been used, and I thought, that's my city right there.
Yeah, there's been a few signs that have been refurbished. The one in front of the Julie Morris Community Garden, and then the other one on 203 entering Monroe, coming from the Lewis Street Bridge there. So, yeah, it looks pretty good.
Thank you. It looks fabulous.
It's refurbished, so I'll pass on to the crew. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Where are we advertising the request for proposal on that kayak?
It's on our website, and there's also packets to be picked up at City Hall, and I believe a Facebook post went out as well. So.
Anybody else with questions? Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, and then did we advertise the same way for the playground input, Facebook, and
yes.
All
yes.
The normal things?
Yeah, okay. We've posted it 3 times on Facebook so far, twice in the city and once on Mayor.
And the park board regularly meets in the Public Works Parks conference room there, so anticipating that we're inviting the public to come, that we've moved it to the location of the school. The mayor's thinking that the school is close to the park would be a good idea. It's near the neighborhood there.
Super. So, yeah. I was just kind of the impression that even though staff is, this is kind of the design they're looking at doing, it's over $250,000 improvement to our park. It's replacing something that's been there for, what did we say, 20 years?
Yeah.
And it seemed like it would be appropriate to have this, location, have Parks Board meeting in a location close to where it would go, and then encourage people to come out and take a look at it. Certainly we want to hear if there are any concerns that people have before actually bringing it forward, but if the Parks Advisory Board agrees this coming Thursday you may have a recommendation and be able to consider it as early as it is today, and if not, you'll see it the week after or so. But one of the things to note, if you zoom in on the image there, is that you'll see a brown area, and then you'll see sort of a green and blue area. And the green and blue area, which looks like a creek and grass and a waterfall, that's rubber. And then the rest of that is chip, is that correct?
The wood chips.
Wood chips. And there is ADA accessibility that's built into this playground. And it seems pretty cool. Councilor, cut it back your light.
Well, no, I was going to ask about the accessibility. I think it has the ADA.
Oh, there's lots of people. Exactly.
Yeah.
ADA compliant is the requirement, and all of our playgrounds are ADA compliant. However, this is taking it up to accessibility, and there's a different standard to that. We're actually like bringing up what the accessibility for ADA.
Because they changed ADA a couple years ago.
This definitely increases the amount of accessibility for ADA, and there's also quite a large leap in not only at the park board meeting but at the council meeting for when this will be before you for approval. I'll be noting all of the features, a lot of active features in it as well. Definitely step up from what we've had at Lake Tahoe.
I just put a footnote on this. One of the questions that I received a couple of was when Sky River Park would be done. And as we explained to council back when the 2017 budget was being done, we have that slated for 2018. So we'll do something similar in 2018, just get some feedback, have this advertising.
Yeah, we'll cover our two large community parks on either side of town next
here. And before you leave the podium publicly, Mike, I asked you to do something a couple of weeks ago to go through the parks and to go through the, you know, have staff go through the unmarked trails. Again, thank you very much to you and your staff for all the work you've done in El Borland Park and our other parks to take out, you know, to take care of material that was in the parks. And I appreciate the weekly checks and everything. And again, a heartfelt thank you.
Sure, thanks. We'll pass it on to Kurt as well. Oh, you know what? Something I forgot to mention. It's not a report. Councilman Kemp would like to know is that our crew did install a new and improved solar light, an additional solar light to the flagpole at Lake Tide Park, and it does show quite a bit more as far as illumination. So we're just going to keep our eye on that, and you know, the hope is that that's sufficient lighting for that flagpole. So I'll bring up again in the week.
Thank you. All right, so we'll go through staff. Mr. Worthen?
Just an update in community development. I am in the final negotiation with a building official, so I hope to have him on board the next 30 days. So once Ben starts on March 6th, then we get the building official on board, we'll be back to full staff in that department. So.
Perfect.
That's all.
And I saw an email come out from Ken asking the council members to bring their devices in to have passwords changed or something. Did I see that correctly? It was about a week or two ago.
If he did, he didn't copy me on it. I know I put it on his calendar to come in every 90 days, so okay. It sounds like he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Okay, so just as a reminder, I don't want you all to wake up one morning and not be able to get into your devices. If you need help from staff to change passwords, please follow up with Ken.
Yeah. Set the 28th to bring it next week.
Yeah. Okay, is that what it was? I was sick when I saw the email, and because I changed mine here. I
love it when I can't get into my phone.
We appreciate your consistency.
Yes.
Mr. Farrell, do you have anything else?
Thanks.
Okay. Becky?
Everything's flat and financed. We're getting started on annual reports, and as Brad mentioned, with the completion of the AMI project, my staff is actually really excited to be able to start checking usage, you know, for potential leads and things like that to get out there to the customers before they get it in their bills. So that was a big topic of discussion in our last staff meeting. So, yes, we're looking forward to it.
And you had turned in that in Monroe this week. You've got a section on bond rating. Did you want to update the council a little bit on that? I think you did that 2 weeks ago, though. And then you also had some things in there about new garbage filling process and Q&A. So, council members, if you're looking for any information about the garbage filling process or the bond rating, she had done quite a workup in Monroe this week. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
You know, quite frankly, for a city that's our size, to have a AA bond rating and have it reaffirmed by Standard & Poor's is a huge deal. And I don't know that people really realize that. Most cities our size don't even have bond ratings, or if they do, it's a single A or an A minus or something like that. So to have a AA rating is pretty outstanding. And basically what that means, as I'm sure you know, is that if and when we want to do any refunding of bonds or issue new bonds, that helps keep our costs lower because we can command better interest rates.
Thank you. Any questions? Councilmember Gamble.
And I appreciate the feedback on Republic Services. I do want to make sure as we go, because that was just the first, you know, bill 2 months from now, we'll have another bill. I want to make sure that, you know, we didn't ask for them up front, but they, you know, when we were doing the negotiations, they just said, hey, if we ran into trouble, that those were the type of things that we could ask for, that they said, yeah, sure, no problem. So we ran into it, so from my perspective, it's, yeah, sure, no problem time, and we should be able to get that information, just because I want to make sure that, you know, 2 months, the next bill, when it comes through, that, you know, we just got an eye on, hey, are they able to, you know, to get, you know, the number of calls offered and to handle what's the abandoned rate? Because the thing that concerned me the most was
10,000 minutes. Yeah, not answering the phone. I mean, that's just the fundamental basic customer service principle. And you know, one of the big things that was sold to us during that process was increased customer service. So anyway, I just think I think it's a reasonable request, and that we should get that type of information going forward to make sure that everything works.
Absolutely. Believe me, I'm getting up to speed on that contract much faster than I expected to. And so I'm starting to, there's a specific person at Republic that I'm working with now who's getting used to my phone call. Okay. And so I'll be working on your request as well. As I took note of your issue again. Quite frankly, that's been a pretty common complaint, for lack of a better word, that I've been hearing, is the misunderstanding about the monthly billings. Yes. For garbage pickup. And so it's something I continue to bring up with Republic. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you saw the other comments that I had. I know you're going to have something before the end of the week, so I'm good.
Thank you. Anything else from Ms. Hesser? Customer Cabot?
Just a comment on the billing, because I don't know, were we aware that they were going to do it 3 months and they were going to do it in advance? Was that part of the negotiation?
Aware of the,
or we just said you take over billing?
No, we're aware of the quarterly
okay.
billing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Councilmember Starter had mentioned that. Yeah.
Or you and me and your dad.
I guess I didn't catch that.
Having a 3 month bill. We talked.
I said this is going to blow.
I understand the advantage, because then they just bill you once quarterly and save them money, obviously, admin time and cost. But there are some people in our community who are paying $80 all at once when they were paying $20 a month. It does affect them, you know, and so that's something I think we just need to be aware of. For people who live month to month and who are on a really stringent budget, you know, that's difficult. So I didn't catch it though. It was going to be 3 months, so that's my bad.
As was spoken to
Councilor Sarver
2 weeks ago, we did talk about it being 3 months. I'm not sure it was clear it was going to be day to day for the next 3 months service, or we're going to be paid at the end of the 3 months for the last 3 months service. I don't think that was discussed, but we did discuss that it would be a 3 month billing cycle.
All right. Thank you. Anything further? All right, let's do it. Yes, I'm just going to go to Mr. Feilberg and the Chief. Mr. Feilberg?
Thank you. The other half. community development permits still running full steam. We had lots and lots of building permits are coming in for the new developments up the top of the hill. Last week we had 6 public hearings, 2 in front of the hearing examiner and 4 in front of the planning commission, and so you'll be receiving the results of those in the near future. We have 3 ordinances coming before you for code amendments, streamlining the process in response to the mayor's initiative to we showed you last year about how to make the process work better and cut out some of the waiting times and redundant processes that we have. So those will be coming to you on March 7th. And then we have another plat, preliminary plat that went to the hearing examiner on last Thursday for another 85 lots, I think it is, up on 191st, which is Eagle Lot 4. And then we had the some plat modifications for the Claire Fermenter plat that was on Chain Lake Road, which will be coming to the City Council for final approval in the near future. So I'll answer that. Any questions that you have to answer them?
Any questions? Councilmember Cutabat.
So you mentioned the process of permitting and stuff. Do we have people, you know, lots of cities do this and healthcare does it. The lean management training, I think the county does it. Do we put any of those processes, or do you have any?
We haven't done any of the official, you know, lean and sickness X and Kaizans and scrum leaders and things like that. Basically, we're just going through the process and trying to cut out as much time as we can. Like right now, one of the proposals that is coming before you is right now, preliminary plats go to the hearing examiner, and then there's a waiting period that comes to the council and is presented to the council, and then the council takes action on it to approve the preliminary plat. And the proposal is to have just the hearing examiner approve the preliminary plat. So, you know, things like that, nothing of the formal lead process.
And to clarify, Councilmember, these are changes in code that, I mean, going back to the mid-90s when I used to do planning where, I'm just going to throw something out there, there used to be a notice of application that was 15 days, 15 working days, and over time, as an example, that's been reduced to like 7 calendar days. There are things that have changed with CEQA appeal periods and CEQA comment periods, and this is just bringing things current. So that's, we can be compliant with state laws that exist today and actually reduce the amount of time that it takes to go through a process, and that's what we're looking at, making adjustments to code right now. Anything further? Okay. All right. Chief Pinzer.
Yes, excuse me. Last week I sent out an email referencing an arrest we made. I hope you all were able to read through that. And last week we also assisted the Department of Transportation for 2 days in cleaning up their property and cleaning out their property. And they did quite a good job. We had an officer up there each day with them. And there were no issues with the former residents of that area. Also, we contacted Burlington Northern to clean up, asked them to clean up their area too, over near El Borland Park, and they have done so, which is we're thankful for. Our goal is to stay on this, not only on the city property, to try to keep things in good shape as far as clean and presentable, but also working with the private property owners to try to keep their property clear of garbage and the like.
Thank you. And Chief, to your department, thank you very much for all the work that you've done. Your officers and sergeants have done to help move that stuff to a state of cleanliness. So thank you. And I know it's going to be a lot of work to stay on top of that and keep on DOT. Thank you in advance. Councilmember Scarborough.
So in paraphrase, DOT did the area by the church and the area behind Goodwill.
Yes.
And Burlington Northern did the Al Borland Park.
No, they don't.
Or that.
In that area, they don't do Al Borland Park. Yeah, they do along the railroad tracks, and they do have some property that is adjacent to Al Borland.
Okay. And can I ask whatever became of the county side of 203?
So on the south side of 203, there is still material there, and as was explained a couple weeks ago in a meeting with the neighbor there, there is a, and I think it was on King 5 also, there's a group, I think, called the River Junkies or something like that, that are going to, they're volunteering time to come out and clean up the south side of the river. So that'll be done on Saturday, the 25th. So I'm understanding that it's happening still because I'm planning on being there. So regardless, I'm understanding that's still scheduled for the 25th.
Okay.
But yeah, that's on the south side of the river. It's outside of city limits. We don't have the same authority outside of our jurisdiction, and that's something that I continue to see in social media that I can't comment on because it's in other Facebook areas. But property that is outside of city limits, we do not have regulatory jurisdiction over. I have worked with the county. I have spoken with the neighbor there and put her in contact with different folks to get that cleaned up, to get it cleaned up. And that's what the status is. So as you can see in the city limits, we've done everything that we can, including working with property owners like DOT and the railroad to get those properties cleaned up. The staff has done an extraordinary job in doing that work. And that includes our interim city administrator, who has gone out and met with people in person on site to see firsthand what it is that people have concerns about, and then following up with the chief or with Mr. Feilberg or with Mr. Farrell to have things cleaned up or to make contact with the railroad or DOT. So this has been a very focused priority over the last 3 weeks, and like I said, I'm going to say it again, staff has done an excellent job of getting the work done, and I really appreciate them prioritizing it, and that includes DOT for the work they've done. So with that said, let's talk briefly on the south side of the river. There was material in the 203 right-of-way underneath the bridge on the south side, and DOT was out there last week cleaning it up, and I think I heard they were out there again today cleaning some material up. We are working the issue. And then lastly, you will have before you over the next couple of weeks the next part of the program, which is the embedded social worker that the council approved. The chief had Deputy Chief Gennard sit on interviews, and they have a embedded social worker that will be actually spending time here. They would like the person actually here. It'll be half time with the county, half time with the city, and because they will be physically located here, I suspect when they're working outside of the city, they will likely be working with the same people that just go on either side of the city limits. So, you know, this is us going beyond the program and doing what other cities are doing, like Everett, like Marysville, like Snohomish County, to help people that want help. People that don't want help or don't accept help, that's where we have a different conversation. And so there you go. I'll go ahead and take lights. I didn't see who was up first. Anybody care? Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thanks. I just want to echo what you were saying. A lot of appreciation for Mr. Mosley, Director Farrell, Chief, and the departments for staying on top of this. And the things that I've been told and hearing and reading is just giving accolades to all of you for doing a job well done. So very, very appreciate everybody stepping up. I think we're on the right track.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I completely agree. I have those same comments. Follow up on Councilmember Scarborough's comments in regards to the property on Southside 203. Just so you know that the Snohomish Health District is involved with the property owner and assisting them getting that cleaned up as well. So they've gotten involved and working on that as well. So.
So when people ask me, can they answer?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so. Councilmember Rasmussen, I'm sorry, you still have the floor.
That's it.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Wholeheartedly agree. I do look forward to ongoing reports as
yes.
go forward
yes.
From the parks and then from the police department. I do think it's important as we move forward, because we've had this issue, that it's really important to be able to, we can point to minutes where we can show, and you know, citizens can go in at any time and pull and see, you know, the update on all the activity that you are doing, because you do such a good job of doing it. And it's an easy way for us to respond. You know, the mayor can respond via, you know, the formal Facebook video page, just pointing them to those documents. I just think it's important. So.
Yeah, and that's, as was pointed out in the meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago, it's something that we've been doing. We just need to be very much on top of it. You know, going out and talking to DOT once every couple of months just doesn't do it. Things accumulate. And so we will be on top of it. And like Mr. Farrell pointed out, you know, he's got staff going through once a week, and they're taking down notes and whatnot. We will stay on top of it. The last The last thing. I know a lot of people like to use social media to talk about things. They may tag us from time to time in private accounts and whatnot. At the end of the day, it's really important for us as ambassadors and for other folks out there to understand that there are limitations on our ability to communicate in social media, which seems weird in a world where you have people on a higher level that use Twitter all the time. not a slam one way or another, I'm just saying. We can't do that here. And so I encourage people that use social media to email us directly or to call us directly when you see something, because we are responsive. Getting on social media and just, you know, talking about it on social media and complaining about it on social media doesn't get the email message to us. And we have public records we need to maintain. And you send me an email, I'll forward it to our interim city administrator. You send it to our interim city administrator, they'll forward it to a department director, and we'll get things taken care of. So just encourage people to email Mr. Mosley or email me when you see something, say something, and we'll follow up, okay? Great. Thank you, everybody. Anything else, Chief? All right, Mr. Mosley.
I just wanted to point out a couple of things that are in the green light strategies report about activities in Olympia. Our delegation has been very responsive in our presenting our funding request for 522. I'm sure you folks talked about that when you were down with them last week. All of the requests that we've talked about in terms of both 522 and the Lake Tai Park Athletic Fields, those requests have been submitted. I think it'll, as those of you who are there know, capital budget funding and transportation funding very, very tight. So I don't know obviously what how it'll come about, but very, very tight. Another program that we've had some discussion about tonight, but is also there is the bills both in the Senate and the House that would increase tax credit limit to the Main Street program to $5 million. And obviously that's an important program to Downtown Monroe Association, and so that's something else that we're monitoring very closely. The legislature did pass the cutoff for bills out of committee, out of policy committee. So in the report, you'll see a number of bills that have been striked through because they are technically dead, though in Olympia, nothing's ever really dead. Signy die. So appreciate the representation from mayor and the council to the AWC conference and delegation down there, and Brian indicated that the comments were very well received by the legislators, so I appreciate that.
Anybody have any questions for our interim city administrator? All right. And I don't have anything else to report. It's pretty much in Monroe this week, and everybody has said everything, so thank you all. Let's go ahead and go over the extended agenda, and then we do have need for executive session this evening.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. We do, of course, have our regular business meeting next week, and I think one of the key things there will be the Blueberry Lane, Kelsey Street traffic revisions. Staff will be bringing back thoughts for your discussion, not an action item, a discussion item, and in addition to that, the Mirabello water system. And of course, taking action, hopefully taking action on the Lake Tai playground and approving the Curry Farms preliminary plat. On the 7th, we're bringing before you for the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the interlocal agreement with Snohomish County for the social worker that will be working with the police department. That will be before you on the 7th. So those are some upcoming activities that council meetings.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do have an unscheduled business to come up. I'm going to be out of town on February 28th.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, and I will work with staff on having the item come back on term limits.
We'll come back with time.
Okay, sounds good. All right, any other questions or comments for Mr. Mosley? All right, seeing none, we do have a need for an executive session. The executive session is agency litigation, RCW 42.3.110, subsection 1, subsection little I. I'm going to say for approximately 10 minutes. There will be action to follow, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting. All right, so we are now in executive session for 10 minutes. Thank you. Okay, we're back out of executive session. There is no further business this evening from staff or me. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Campbell. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Kadeback has objected to the motion. Okay, seeing no discussion, all in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, and thank you for your service. We're adjourned.